My name is Victor Kubik, President of the United Church of God. I'd like to continue our discussion with Dr. Steve Britt about God, science, and the Bible. Stephen has written an article for Beyond Today magazine in the current issue, Sound Science and the Bible. He's also spoken on the subject, which is somewhat of a sensation here as a sermon here at the home office about just how science is found in the Bible. Anyway, welcome to Inside United.
Thank you. It's good to be here again. I appreciate the kind words.
Well, we have really appreciated your particular perspective as you have been very disciplined, you know, in the study of mathematics and so forth. In a debate that I saw one time between an atheist and a believer, they took two different views of just the vastness of the universe. The believer said, look how wonderful and awesome and marvelous the universe is in preparing, is showing mankind the glory of God. The atheist came back with, what a waste. Why would God want to create so much just to prove his point? You know, that is just an absolute nonsense to create so much, you know, for a little tiny man. And it's between these two divergent, you know, 180 yeah. views that we come to try to cope with this.
What a waste of space. So it's kind of a funny concept because, well, for one thing, the difference between our thinking and God's thinking, you know, God says, my ways are not your ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts. So we can always defer to the fact that God is greater and knows better. Maybe, you know, it did take all this space to make this happen. But on the other hand, you know, we have a God who created the universe, and it says in Isaiah that he created it to be inhabited. The universe as we see it today, and the way it is not necessarily the way that God made it. And I think that that's something that we as a church understand that's a little bit unique in the religious landscape, even within the Christian world, relating to the age of the universe and the age of the earth in particular, and also the age of man and how all that fits together.
Carl Sagan's book, you know, Small Blue Dot, you know, where when Voyager went out almost to the edge of our solar system and they instructed it to turn around and point to the Earth, and it was just a tiny, small blue dot. And his comment was, there it is. All of our life, all of our experiences, it's all right there. But it was demeaning it, like it's nothing. It's absolutely nothing.
Mm-hmm. I think that our capacity to understand and our consciousness and everything we experience as human beings literally points us towards God. And we talked about, I believe it was Romans 1 last time, and this idea that the invisible qualities of God are known from the creation and the things that are made. And I think that we, if we're being honest with ourselves about life, we feel those things deeply and should know them to be true. We should know better than to think that mm-hmm. the way that some think today.
Well, I know one person I have spoken to who told me that even if there is a God who reveals himself to be what it is, I don't want him. I would rather not exist than to be ever part of that God who reveals himself as being that. It just shows the level of hatred that people have towards that God.
And I think that has to be motivated by a lack of understanding of who the God of the Bible is, the promises that he makes, the love that he really has, even though, and that's exactly the issue, is that they see suffering, they see difficulty and hardship, and they interpret that evidence as something about God that's not true. They see that as, you know, God could stop this and yet he allows it, and that makes God evil in a way or some other such thing, when that's not actually the case.
Well, what it really comes down to is that if there was a God who simply did not allow some of the negativity to come in, he would be absolutely controlling robotically human mm-hmm. behavior. I spoke about that subject at the Feast of Tabernacles last year, mm-hmm. that we would come to a dystopian world where we could robotically only do good. Mm-hmm. And there have been novels written about that show yeah. these people have gone crazy because they can't do things mm-hmm. opposite. Mm-hmm. Just like, you know, we can't love anyone unless we have the right or capability of not loving them. Because mm-hmm. if we were forced to love somebody, it really wouldn't be love, because it would be robotic love rather than love that is a choice.
Absolutely. And again, in a completely secular, materialist view of the universe, there's no such thing as free will. It's, again, just the lifeless chemicals reacting in your brain. But experientially, we can know that's not true. Mm-hmm. Just from our own being inside of our own heads, we feel that in our core, and God created us with that understanding. And another component, as you were talking just then, that I thought about was the way that not only is God aware, not only does he understand our suffering, but in fact, he sent his son, he sent Jesus Christ to come and experience this for himself and to act as our high priest and intermediary, to relay to God the Father what we go through and to advocate for us because of that. And I think that that's a powerful point, that people who are of that mindset, who reject God out of spite or whatever it may be, fail to see.
And he experienced it for us. It wasn't just like a pat on the back, you know, saying, there right. you go, you know. But it was experiencing the tragedy, the suffering that we go through, taking it upon himself. When people, this actually has to do with science and the meaning mm-hmm. of life, when you really get down to it, is that all these things of science and philosophy and cause and effect and free will, all are entangled into one phenomenal story. Don't you agree?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And you can see that these things bleed into one another because they were designed by the same creator. He made it all to work together, and all the different elements of the creation, it talks about the Proverbs, go to the ant, right? Mm-hmm. And we see these ant colonies that some people have looked at and they thought, well, look at how the colony reacts as though it's a single organism. And they look for signs of consciousness within an ant colony, you know, because they think that it simply must be there, the way that these things, how complex they get. And a lot of comparisons made there between the way they function versus how human brain functions. But you see those kind of traces of God's design all throughout creation. And we do our best to understand them. We talked earlier about the pictures that are drawn. Even the more advanced images we have of the universe are things that we've kind of doctored and pieced together based off of things that are actually unseen. These different radiation signatures at different wavelengths that aren't visible light. So these beautiful images of space, sorry to tell you folks if you didn't know this, they've been touched up. They've been touched up quite a bit in order to make it in the visible spectrum. And so I'm sure if we were able to perceive all these different wavelengths of light with the eye, we would see it that way. But there are representations that help us understand. You know, we always have to bring things to our level to understand them, whether they're really big or really small. And that's what those things are useful for. And our ability to do that comes from, like you said, we're created in the image of God. We have that reasoning ability that comes from him.
Yeah, I'd like to discuss that, because everything was made from spirit. You know, it talks about out of, it was created from nothingness, in a way, from mm-hmm. From God creating it, and that the universe even has not only a beginning, but biblically shows that there will be fire that will put away, it'll be folded up, and there will be new heavens and new earth.
Yeah, and looking especially at that scripture that says, I'll roll up the heavens like a mm-hmm. garment. Mm-hmm. It just shows how, talking about that little blue speck, how small these things are to God, and the greatness of God is that he sees this as easy as changing clothes, mm-hmm. To go from this creation to the new creation, the new heavens and new earth that are promised and in his word. And seeing that, it does make you feel kind of small as a as a creature. And what is man that you are mindful of him? Those words really resonate.
Job had to come to that point. Mm-hmm. He had a perspective of himself that was, he was a good manager, he was wealthy and so forth, and he knew God. He knew God. I mean, he was a very faithful person, and he came to the end of, through all his suffering, of saying, with the ear I had heard you, but now my eye sees you. He saw God in a perspective he hadn't to before, and he says, therefore I abhor myself, not so much hating himself, but he saw his perspective of being so small with God. And isn't life trying to figure out where you fit in this vastness of the universe?
Well, yes. And certainly, just as Job went through a process of knowing God on one level, but then having this greater knowledge of God and greater understanding and perspective of God revealed to him, I think that's God's plan for all of us as individuals, really, and for the world as a whole. This is something that God's, as we understand it, planning to extend to every living person, every person who's ever lived and died, to bring them to a point where they do see him face to face, where you can't anymore maintain some false worldview or a false view of things that says there's no God, because we'll be confronted, and I imagine most will be humbled in the way that Job was humbled. And for those of us who come into a relationship with God today, I think we all have to be humbled in that way at some point to bring us to that point of repentance and baptism and obedience, striving to live God's way of life, to become like Jesus Christ and take on his values and mindset.
Well, that's a very interesting thought, because everybody's life journey is slightly different. You know, it's unique. He guides along the way. He reacts to our prayers. He reacts to what we do. And, you know, he guides us in that path. So truly, he is amazing with all these who are made in his image, of creating a super society of billions of people that will carry on the genus of God.
yeah, absolutely. And I think one phrase that's it just keeps popping up for me is that everybody's life is different, but everybody's life is difficult, and you end up learning a lot of the same things no matter what your path is or what things befall you. And the lesson always brings you back to a dependence on God, and just the way that he's able to bring that out in everybody's life, no matter their experience, that we can all come to recognize our need for him to fix this broken world, to fix our broken selves, it's an intimate process, and, you know, one that we've both been through coming to baptism and repentance, and excited to see more and more people, and eventually everyone, come to is our goal.
Well, I think that as we study these things, whether it be science or whether it be philosophy for that matter, you know, you ask questions about the meaning of life and so forth, life, death, tragedy, you know, suffering and so forth, it all kind of begins to make sense. It all begins to come together. And frankly, in my life, while there are things that have been puzzling, there is a way through. And there is a solution through. And yes, Christ is the answer, so to speak, you know, and not in more of a generic thing. But God has thought through already what eventualities we would have to endure.
Yeah, I would say so. I would say so. And just knowing how God says, I know the plans I have for you, to do good and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. Those words, I think, are in Jeremiah. It just shows what a planning God he is, planning not only the creation that we see and all the detailed physiological processes and biochemical processes and the chemistry and the physics and every bit of it, but also planning out the human relationships and the capacity for relationship, the father and son relationship that he has with us, or father and daughter relationship with the ladies. It's really, really just beyond our comprehension how well thought out the plan of God is and his design for the universe, from the level of mathematics to the level of psychology or any part of it he had a hand in.
To me, part of that is not only the creation of all this, but also from the foundation of the world, God had slain his son, you know, that was planned. That was part of this greater plan of what he is working through with us. The awesomeness and the wisdom of it is just defies all human ways of figuring it out.
Yeah, and it's intended very clearly to be a process of development. So you've mentioned my daughter when I've come on the program, and I watched just the process of, you know, it's our first child, and the process of her growth and development, and you just see the way that they learn and the way that they go from this state of complete dependence infants at birth, where they literally get everything, every bit of nutrition, every physical need fulfilled by the parents, but then they grow to be more independent. God designed that to teach us a lesson about how he works with us. You know, once we've come to physical maturity and we're able to interact with God, then the spiritual maturity can start to begin. And so spiritually, we literally start as babies. And God sees us that way, very helpless and lost and unable to do a single thing for ourselves. But we grow and mature and come to greater understanding. And it's just really amazing the degree of detail that God built his plan into the fabric of our lives.
And he speaks about the children of Israel. Even mm-hmm. I feel it's more than just a genetic thing, but it's really that they were like childish, immature almost, who were growing towards maturity, and growing towards spiritual maturity that is shown in the new covenant. You know, where we grow to those qualities of God, particularly those of love, awareness of ourselves, awareness of others, awareness of God.
Yeah, and so getting back to the whole aspect of God as our creator and whether any of this life that we experience and see means anything, those experiences, the family experiences and our religious experiences with God, and we can feel and see. God says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's a powerful testimony. In fact, when it comes down to it, the only testimony in your life that you can really trust and accept is your own experiences and the things you see happen in your life. And so to embrace that and look at it with the right worldview of where mm-hmm. it's coming from and understanding the love God has for us is critically important for understanding everything.
Well, Steve, it's been great talking to you. It's been very wonderful talking to you. I'd like to continue our discussions about some of these philosophical, scientific areas that I find personally fascinating. Mm-hmm. And I do feel like all this comes together as really defining the kind of mind that God has. Okay, well, thank you very much for joining us on Inside United.
All right, thank you.
Please come back for more. We'll have more discussions about some of these very, very important and interesting subjects.
This is a production of the United Church of God. For more, visit ucg.org.